You have your Bibles open up to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings, today we'll be in 1 Kings chapter 18. That is 1 Kings chapter 18. Could it be in the Old Testament book of 1 Kings chapter 18 today? The title of today's sermon is Choose This Day Who You Will Serve. You say, well, Pastor Boy, that's a strange title for a message that's not out of Joshua. I thought in Joshua that's what the scripture was. Oh, well, we'll get there. We'll get there. Open up to 1 Kings chapter 18. Now, there are a lot of verses in here, I'm going to warn you. And I'm going to need you today to stay with me, to keep your Bibles open, because this is an amazing story of truth, an amazing story of power. It's a clash between good and evil, and between the just and the unjust. And we'll see who prevails at the end. It's going to be exciting. So, 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 15 through 40. All right, here's what the scripture says. Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely present myself to him today." So Obadiah went to meet with Ahab and told him, Ahab went to meet with Elijah. Then it happened, when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, "Is that you, O troubler of Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, and that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. Now therefore, send and gather all of Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him." But the people answered him with not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, "I am alone, left a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves. Cut it into pieces and lay it on the wood, and put no fire underneath it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood and put no fire underneath it. Then you will call in the name of your gods, and I will call in the name of my Lord, and the God who answers by fire from heaven, he is God." So all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." So now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God and put no fire under it." So they took the bull which was given them and they prepared it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, "Oh, Baal, hear us!" But there was no voice. No one answered. Then they leaped about the altar which it made. And so it was noon that Elijah mocked them. Elijah said, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's meditating, or maybe he's busy, or maybe he's on a journey, or perhaps he's sleeping and must be awakened." So they cried aloud and cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances, and their blood gushed out of them. And the midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come near to me." So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Israel shall be your name." Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar, large enough to hold two seas of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood, and said, "Fill four water pots with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." Then he said, "Do it a second time," and they did it a second time. Then he said, "Do it a third time," and they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar and also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering for the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." And Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape." So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to Brook Kishon and executed them there. Wow! What a story of good and evil. I don't know if you've ever heard that story before, but wow, the power of God is put on display. That's what we're going to be talking about today, is that very question. Are you serving Baal or are you serving the Lord? You can't serve two gods at the same time. You can only serve one or the other. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, God, so much for this message in your scripture. Thank you for the story of mighty triumph, God. Help it to encourage us and inspire us, God, that, Lord, as we're in your will and as we follow your commandments, God, that you are just watching over us, Lord, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. God, I praise you for all the things that you've done, Lord, and all that you will do. Lord, I pray that you just anoint me and just give me, Lord, the gift, Lord, to speak as I teach this lesson today, Lord. I pray, God, that you would just use the Holy Spirit to just go through every single one of us, God, as we read your word today. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you do for us. Thank you most for sending your only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins. For it's in your name we pray today, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So here it is, this story about some troublemakers. Has anybody ever been a troublemaker before? Yes. How many people have caused trouble in their life? If you're not raising your hand, you're probably lying to the pastor. Most of us have caused some trouble in our life. We've stirred up trouble. Now, there's a difference between causing trouble and stirring up trouble. You see, when you cause trouble, you may cause trouble to one person or maybe another person or in your own life. But no, when you get a pot and you got some stuff in there and a handle and you start stirring and stirring, boy, that smell infects everybody, I'm telling you. Then you start causing trouble all over the place. This guy that we're talking about today, King Ahab, he was not just a troublemaker, but he was stirring the pot. Him and his wife Jezebel, they did the worst thing they could have done. They knew they should follow the Lord. They knew what the commandments said, but they decided, well, they wanted to share all about this prophet, supposedly, or this god, Baal, who doesn't even really exist, who many people form in the shape of a bull to signify strength and power. And so anyway, they start infecting all the people in Israel and telling them, you shouldn't be worshiping God, you should worship Baal. And so what a problem there's caused in the midst of all this chaos. And so he's the seventh king of Israel. He's married to this woman and he follows everything that she is telling him. And so Ahab knows that he's supposed to only follow the Lord as God. He knows what the first commandment says in Exodus 23, that we're not supposed to have any other gods except for our Lord and Savior. It says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So why did King Ahab do this? Why did he start following another, quote unquote, God? Why would he do that? Well, before we get too judgmental, we should look inside at our own hearts. You know, we should ask ourselves the same question. Why do sometimes in our life, we put other things before our God? It's really easy to blame things on Judas for selling the Lord out for some silver. It's really easy to blame things on King Ahab for chasing after this other God. But how many of us Christians today chase other gods or put other gods before our God? How many of us chase the God of money? How many of us chase different idols like our own selfishness, our own pride? How many of us go after and put our families before God, or our jobs before God, or our careers before God? You see, so what King Ahab is doing isn't much different than what some of us Christians do in our life. And if we're not careful, we can end up prioritizing our own selfish desires above God as well and worshiping them too. So think about that as I share these verses again. Verse 17 and 18 says, when Ahab saw Elijah, he exclaimed, so is it really you, you troublemaker of Israel? He says, I have made no trouble for Israel, Elijah replied. You and your family, they're the troublemakers, for you have refused to obey the commands of the Lord and have worshipped the images of Baal instead. You see, God was tired of this king leading people astray from the one true God. Elijah was tired of seeing this too. They're tired of this. And you know what? I'm a little tired of it myself in the world today. I'm tired of these other gods taking our Lord and Savior's place in people's life. We have people that say that they believe in God, but they just don't follow him. I don't understand. And that's the same problem that they're dealing with here. They're saying, well, I kind of follow the Lord, but I also really want to follow this Baal. Well, you can't serve two masters. Listen to what the Bible says in 19 through 21. Elijah says, summon all of Israel to join me at Mount Carmel, along with 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah who are supported by Jezebel. So Ahab summoned all the people of Israel and all the prophets to Mount Carmel. Then Elijah stood in front of them and said, how much longer will you waver, hobbling between your two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. But the people were completely silent. You see, nobody wants to be called on their bluff. We want to be able to do what we want to do when we feel like doing it, however we feel like doing it. But if you're a Christian, you're supposed to be following the Lord, and his ways may be just a little bit different than your ways. And so the Lord and Elijah are tired of this. They said, we're putting an end to all this false worship. And so he calls for a spiritual battle here. I'm talking a crazy battle, because there's only one prophet of the Lord. That's Elijah. And there's 850 other prophets for between Baal and between Asherah. And so, you know how many people 850 people are? That's a lot of people. Like, you know, if I was to get into a little boxing match with one or two, I think I'd be okay, maybe even three. But if you put me up against 850, oh, I'm really going to need the Lord's help in that matter. And so Elijah's in that same shape. He's not getting ready to get into a physical battle, but to get into a spiritual battle, a spiritual war here. And so they're going to meet on Mount Carmel for a spiritual showdown. Now, Mount Carmel is a special place. The reason they picked that is because this is a mountain. A huge mountain, over 33 feet long, and it's over at its peak over 1,742 feet high. I mean, this is a massive, massive mountain. And you know what happens on this mountain? This is where all kinds of false gods are worshipped. And so what better place to come snub out all this false god and all this false worship than on this mountain where they tore down the Lord's altars and they started worshipping these false gods. So that's where Elijah goes. And so Elijah gets all these people up there. He says, Ahab, I want you to get all those prophets, get all those children of Israel, bring them all up on the mountain. We're going to have a little talk. And so they all go up on the mountain and listen to what he says. He says, how much longer will you waver, hobbling between these two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. But the people were completely silent. And so what Elijah is saying is you can't serve two masters. The Bible says in Matthew 6:24, says no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. And so I just want to pause here for a little minute. You know, how many people don't like being called a hypocrite? How many people, I don't like being called a hypocrite. That's terrible. I don't like being called a hypocrite. But you know what? Sometimes we are hypocrites. And the truth hurts. It's miserable. So I want to jump off on this little soapbox for a minute. And you say, well, Pastor, as a Christian, we're not really hypocrites. We just sin and we ask God for forgiveness. That could be true. But there are times that we are hypocrites. For example, we don't practice all the time what we preach. We tell people, well, you know, you should love one another unconditionally the same way that God loves you. No, we smile at them. And then you know what happens? 5 minutes later, we're gossiping, we're lying, and we're talking behind their back, aren't we? We say, we believe the scripture that you shall have no other gods before me. But how many times do we put our own wants and our own needs above what God wants? We say, we believe the scripture in Hebrews 10:25 that says, do not forsake the assembling of others, so that we're supposed to come together. We say, we believe in that because we believe in the whole Bible. But boy, isn't it easy for us to miss church, prayer service, Wednesday night Bible study. It's time with other Christians, other fellowship. Pretty easy for us to do that. We say, no, we believe that, but we just don't do it. And so that kind of makes us a hypocrite. So if we don't want to be known as hypocrites, we've got to be the men and women Christ called us to be. We like to bear that name, Christian. Oh, that's a great name to have. But it means Christ-like. Think about your life, what you've done this morning, what you've done this week, and ask yourself the question, have I been Christ-like? Think about it. So Elijah, he's had it with all this false worship. He's done. I'm sick of this stuff. God's sick of this stuff. You're not going to put God first. He says in front of all the children of Israel, all these false prophets, he says, how much longer will you waver, hobbling between these two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. And what Elijah's saying in layman's terms is, choose this day whom you will serve. You know who else said that? Joshua in Joshua 24:15. These people are coming out of Egypt and they're always whining and they're always crying. And they're going back and they're worshiping their false gods. And Joshua, he's like, well, you've got to choose this day whom you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so there has to come a time in your life where you have to not worry about what your husband thinks, what your wife thinks, what your mom or your dad thinks. And you have to make the decision for yourself. Choose this day who you are going to serve. You got to make that decision. You can't blame it on anybody else. And so Elijah, he's challenging the people. He's saying, choose who you're going to serve. If you're going to serve Baal, serve him. If you're going to serve God, serve him. And listen to what happens next in verse 22 through 24. Elijah says to them, I am the only prophet of the Lord that's left. But Baal has 450 prophets. Now bring two bulls. The prophets of Baal may choose whichever one they wish and cut it into pieces and lay it on the wood of their altar, but without setting fire to it. I'll prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood of my altar, but not set fire to it. Then you call in the name of your God, Baal, and I'll call in the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by setting fire to the wood is the true God, and all the people agreed. The first thing I thought when I read this is, wow, Elijah's a bold man. Not only is he asking God to do something, like we all do when we pray, but he's in front of 450 Baal prophets, 400 Asherah prophets, all the children of Israel. And it's him, one person, with God, versus 850 people. And so he's bold enough to say, we'll see whose God can light this wood on fire. Let's see. And so I think about the boldness of his faith. How do you have the boldness of that kind of faith in Christ? Well, you're not worried about yourself or how you look. You're more worried about your relationship with Jesus and how that looks. You can only get bold faith like that by believing in God and having an intimate, personal relationship with him. You know what? I believe in my son. I trust my son. If I ask my son, Josh, I need you to do something, I know that he will do the best job he possibly can to do it. Do you know why I know that? Because I have an intimate personal relationship with him. I've known him all of his life. So the only way I could know that is by having that kind of a relationship. The only way Elijah knew that God would answer him is by having that kind of relationship with God. And so if you want a bold faith, you have to have a serious relationship with God. Not just a relationship on Sundays and Wednesdays. You got to have a daily relationship with God. And so they're getting ready to put a stop to all this false worship. And so the challenge is, whose God is going to answer his people by setting this wood on fire? Who's going to do it? And I think, what a blessing it is as I read this story and I share with you. These people, they're calling on the name of Baal, and Baal's not answering. And so they're cutting themselves and making their own selves a sacrifice for this false God. You know what? You and I don't have to do that to talk to our God, do we? You know, the only sacrifice he wants is for us to put our own pride down and come and ask him and come and talk to him. We don't have to cut ourselves. We don't have to spin around circles and chant and jump like goofballs. We don't have to do any of that stuff. All we got to do is say, Lord, I need you. You see, we serve a God that loves us and is always listening to our voice. I'm so happy to serve the Lord that we serve. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good stuff. So the challenge is, who's going to set this stuff on fire? So let's see what happens. So in verses 25 and 26, Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, you go first. There's many of you. Choose one of the bulls, prepare it on the same, and call on the name of your God. And let's see what happens. And so they say, call on the name of Baal from morning until noontime, shouting, oh, Baal, answer us. But there is no reply of any kind. So then they dance and they hobble around the altar they made. Surprise, surprise, their God didn't answer them. So they cry out even louder and they cut themselves, as it was their custom, with knives and lances until blood gushed out of them. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was still no voice, no one answered, and no one paid attention. Well, why? Why is Baal, if he's some awesome God, why is he not answering his people? His people are down there filleting themselves like fish. And he's not answering them. What's the deal? Well, I can tell you why. Because Baal is nobody. He's not God. He's not anything. Church, there's only one Lord of Lords. There's only one Alpha and Omega. There's only one Creator. And it surely isn't Baal. It's Jesus Christ. There's only one God that rose from the grave. And that's our Lord Jesus. Amen? Amen. So believing in anything else just doesn't do you any good. And so I don't care if you're cutting yourself, jumping up and down, wobbling around stuff. It doesn't matter. And so let's see what happens now, because it's Elijah's turn. He says, then Elijah says to all the people, come near to me. Come on in, guys. Come on. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. So he takes 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of Jacob, puts them together. And that would have been good if he did that. But listen, he goes further. So then he built an altar in the name of the Lord. He made a trench around the altar, large enough to hold 2 seas of seed. That's 3 gallons of water. He dug a trench around this. Now, why is he digging a trench? What is this guy doing? It says, and he put the wood in order. He cut the bull in pieces, and he laid it on the wood, and he said, fill 4 water pots with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice in the wood. Now, talk about showing off here. So he comes up, and he builds this. He says, okay, I'm going to build this, and not only am I going to put the bull pieces up on top of the wood that God needs to start that fire for, but I'm going to dig a trench, and hey, you guys got some water over there? Let's put some water on this thing. So they do it one time. Verse 34 says, then he said, do it a second time. So they're probably looking at him like, Elijah, what are you, crazy? But they do it. Do it a second time. Then I'll bet he kind of smiled, and he says, do it a third time. So they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. Now, what on earth is Elijah doing? The challenge was simple. You just build a little rock altar. You put some wood on there. You put a little bull sacrifice on there, and you call on your God, and he lights the thing on fire, right? So you already saw Baal. Well, that didn't work out so well for those guys. So what is he doing? He says, I'm going to do something. So what he says, he said, well, let's just try this little experiment, right? And so what he does, he builds this altar. I'm going to move this over here for a minute. So he takes this thing. We're going to use this as a trench because I'm sure people don't want us lighting the church on fire. And so what he does, he takes some stones. He builds them. So he comes over here and he starts building it up. Builds it up. And then he takes some wood, dry wood. Put some dry wood up there. I think this is probably good here. So there's some dry wood. And then he says, okay, well, we need 4 pots of water. So he come over. And he takes his pot. He pours it over the wood. Now, these are a lot bigger than cups of water, mind you. So he takes 2 more. And he takes those and pours those on the wood. And he says, okay, that's good, you did that. And then just for ease of use, he says, well, and these are kind of what the water pots were like. He says, well, okay. He says, well, let's do that again. So they come up with their 4 water pots. Imagine there's 4 water pots here. And they douse it again. He says, good job. And he says, come up and do it a third time. So, okay, so they come up here and they douse it again. And now you're looking at this and the people have to be wondering, how on earth is God going to do anything like this? And so you can see for us, we can take this mighty fine fire stick here and we can try lighting this on fire for a week. It's not happening. Why? Because it's soaked with water. A man can't do it. Yeah, you can sit here all day long. You just soak the wood with water. Of course, it's not going to start on fire. So, Elijah, it didn't matter how awesome he was. He couldn't do anything. And so what does Elijah do? Elijah calls on the people of the Lord. You see, he calls on the Lord because he wanted the people to know it wasn't him that did it. He can't do anything like that. Neither can I. So he calls on the power of God, and look what happens. It says in verse 36 through 38, "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, 'Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again.'" Verse 38 says, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked it up in the water that was in the trench." Wow. That water wasn't stopping the Lord, was it? God didn't wait for minutes. He didn't wait for hours. He didn't wait for weeks or days to answer his prayer. He answered him instantly, didn't he? And you know what was awesome? The challenge of setting wood on fire. Setting wood on fire. He burned up all the offering, that bull. He burned up all the wood. He burned up the rocks. He burned up the ashes. And he burned up all the water. I mean, it was gone. Boom. History. Do you think he won that competition? Amen. Start the wood on fire. Your God can't even hear you, let alone start wood on fire. I'll start the wood on fire. I'll burn the rocks. I'll take the ashes and all that water out of there. Because you know what? I am the God. The one and the only God. Folks, that is the Lord that we serve. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, so sometimes we go through life and we don't think that God can handle our problems. Folks, if God can handle this problem, he can handle anything that you're dealing with today. So what is it going to take for us? I'm getting ready to close. What is it going to take for us to really trust and believe in the Lord? What kind of miracle does he have to do in your life? What does he have to do to get your attention, to show you that he loves you, to show you that he's here for you, to show you that he'll never leave you nor forsake you? What does he have to do for you to really trust and believe in him? The title of the sermon today is "Choose This Day Who You Will Serve." And just like Elijah, he challenged those people. Folks, I'm challenging. God is challenging you and your hearts today. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to continue to serve those idols, putting things before God? Or are you going to get serious and really serve the Lord as your Savior? What kind of miracle is God going to have to do? I'll tell you, God's already done a miracle today. He's brought you here to hear this message. There's a lot of things that could have gone wrong from the time of you getting up to the time you being here. But God brought you here to hear this message for a reason. Because he wants you to choose this day who you will serve. But you know, that's not all that God did. God took a beautiful act between two people. He took a tiny little sperm and a tiny little egg in a beautiful act, and he joined them together, and he started to create you. One of the most beautiful things in the world is pregnancy. You grew from a simple cell, a simple little tiny cell, into an embryo. And you know what? You developed every one of your organs, your eyes, your ears, your nose, heart, lungs, kidney, bladder, brain, all those things started to develop. You even had fingernails by just 12 weeks. You want to talk about a miracle? Two little tiny pieces you can't even see. God joined together, and in less than 12 weeks, you had body parts, organs, and even fingernails. You grew from something that was so small the eye can't even see it, the naked eye can't see it, to a strapping 200 and something pound massive man like my son Joshua. That's a miracle, folks. Who says God doesn't do miracles? And I'm sure those aren't the only miracles God's done in your life. Maybe you're here today and you heard about Elijah challenging Ahab. And you said, "Well, I'm a Christian." But when you heard that, it reminded you that while you're a Christian, you've been a little wishy-washy in your faith. What is it going to take you to be fully committed to God? You see, he wasn't partially committed to you. He didn't just kind of get beaten. He just didn't kind of hang up on a cross. He just didn't kind of die. No, he was fully committed. Because he loved you. The question is never about how much does God love you. The question is, how much do you love him? We always want the benefits. And God says they're there. But you got to do the seeking. You have to want the relationship. What's it going to take for you to be fully committed and really trusting God? Why are you still flirting with sins and flirting with the ways of the world? You know it's not going to help you. You know it's not good for you. God loves you. He wants the best for you. Why wouldn't you follow somebody who wants the best for you? But what we do is we go towards the devil because he makes things look good so that he can entice you and pull you into his trap. And then you know what happens when you fall in the trap? You get destroyed. So what is it that you want today? Maybe you're here today and you weren't expecting much. You came because you're supposed to come to church. You came because that's what people do, good people do on Sunday. Well, I want you to know that there's a time in your life, and today is that day, where you've got to make the decision. Are you going to serve Baal or are you going to serve God? And when you make that decision, you've got to make it with all your heart. It's time to stop flirting with the world. It's time to stop playing around. I know two people who've passed away this week. Two young people. One was 41 and the other one was 36. You would think they have plenty of years left. But the truth is, we don't know how long we have. So why are we playing around with stuff? Choose Baal or God. What do you want? What is it going to take? Today, you've heard and you've seen how the one and only true God works. The only one in the universe who loves you more than the rest of all creation. The only one who gave up his own life to pay the price for the bad things that you've done. So you could be in heaven with him someday. He's the only one in the world that promised he will never leave you nor forsake you. So what's it going to be? Who will you choose to serve? Idols? Yourself? Baal, like those lost people with King Ahab? Or are you going to serve the God that can not only set the wood on fire, but burn the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the rocks, and all the water? I don't know about you, but I'm trusting in the Lord. Let's stand and bow our heads as we go to the Lord.